This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's Family Time on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In today's episode of our fortnightly series, we will be looking at how best to choose a new school for our kids. There are so many options out there, and everything, of course, will look like it's the best thing to help your kids excel. But how do you sift through all the gloss and get the real deal? Joining me now is Helen Pryor. She is a contributor with Happy Go KL, and she has been on a mission to personally visit all the international schools in Malaysia to help us make those decisions. Welcome, Helen. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you so much for having me, Juliet.
So, Helen, you, as I mentioned, had that mission. Have you succeeded in that mission?
Well, okay. So, just this morning, I visited my 14th school. I'll have done 15 by the end of this week, aiming to see another 20 or so in the new year. So, I don't know if I can do all of them. I think there's over 170 international schools in Malaysia now, and around 70, I think, in KL itself. So, me on my own, I mean, that would take me the whole year, right? So, yeah. I'm trying to see the schools that I get asked about the most often, and I'm trying to get into those schools and really learn as much as I can about them so that when families ask me about different schools, I can give them some personal insight. So I don't think anyone in Malaysia has actually done this research. I think there are people that work as education agents in Malaysia, but they're paid commissions by certain schools, so they know about a few. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's actually gone to all of them or as many as they can to give objective advice to families. So it's really, it's an exciting project. And I'm really enjoying it.
And I think that's important, you know, objective advice.
Yeah.
Right? And that is something that you're aiming to do. You know, there's no strings attached as such.
Absolutely no strings. So, and my background, I've spent the last 12 years working in international schools in Malaysia, Hong Kong, Dubai, New Zealand. So I'm really looking at schools with my teacher hat on as well as my parent hat. You know, I'm a mum of two. So I'm always thinking, you know, would my child enjoy this environment? How would they be treated in the school? But also as a teacher, what's the quality of teaching and learning like?
Mm-hmm. And so when you did visit these schools, what are the things that that you know, that your criteria, I suppose, your checklist of things that need to be there?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. I'm trying to find things that parents can't necessarily get for themselves from websites, because parents are smart, right? They can do the research online. But there are things that often aren't advertised, so that's what I'm asking about. So things like the provision for EAL students. So students learning English, what actually support is there for them? Mm-hmm. Is there just one class that's once a week to give them, you know, a bit of extra support? Or in the best schools, what you'll have is two or three or even four tiers of program for different levels of language learners.
Sure.
And that's usually not on the website, but it's actually really important because a lot of families, their children do need a bit of English support, and some of them need a lot. So I expect if a school has quite a broad student body, that there should be that support in place, and it should look like a couple of different options at least. Mm-hmm. I also ask about their learning support provision. So how are they looking after the children that might struggle with different aspects of the curriculum? And again, there should be something in place. So in the best schools, they've got large learning support faculties with specialist teachers. They're not just any old teachers helping out. They're specialist, well-trained teachers that are offering a range of support that's personalised to each child. And that would be something I'd expect to see as well. And also something I often ask and really encourage families to ask about is teacher professional development. And I think sometimes when we're looking at schools, that's not something we would ever think to ask about. But how are those teachers in that school being trained and being supported?
Sure.
So what you see in the best schools, and by best, I don't mean the most expensive. I mean best in terms of best practice. What you see is training and development happening every week. Every single week, their teachers are going into focus groups or action research, or they're getting time to reflect on their own practice and get better. And on the opposite side, because you get kind of one of two options, that's the best, and the other is they get some training, maybe once per term, they get a whole day of training and that's it for the term. Mm-hmm. But I always ask about that because there should be ongoing support and training, both for expat and local teachers. So that's something I always look forward to.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, because this is a this is something that you do to advise parents as well. I mean, besides that list, you know, what would you tell parents to also have on their checklist or, you know, some essentials that they need to always have in their mind when going and visiting these schools?
Yeah, I think it's easy to get wowed by facilities and to get wowed by the jazz. I think you said something about the gloss, you know, and all of these schools have beautiful websites. And you have to remember that the website is effectively an advertising tool. They cost schools a huge amount of money to make. And so, of course, they look great. And when you go to the schools on tours, they take you around the flashiest things. They'll take you to the pool and the sports field and the theatre. But all of the research says those things don't really matter. So they're great and they look nice. What matters to your child is the quality of teaching that's happening in their classroom. When you drop them off and the door shuts, who is in that classroom? Who will be in that classroom with your child? Are they well trained? Are they passionate about what they're doing? Are they happy? And are they? Do they have the time and the energy and the resources to really ensure your child can reach their potential? And I know when I've been visiting schools, often the tour guides kind of push you around different parts of the school. But really what I encourage parents to do is just stop and ask, can I just stand and watch this class a little bit? Can I just look through the window and watch?
Yeah.
And do the children look happy? Do they look engaged?
Yeah.
Because if they're not happy, they're not going to learn for a start. And if they're not engaged, well, they're not learning. Mm-hmm. So you should see children that are interested. You should see children that are engaged and excited about learning. I often say, like, look for the children who aren't interested and see how the teacher engages with that child and gets them back on track. Because I'm always looking for signs of really positive teacher-child relationships, because the research shows, like, that's what has an impact on learning. If your child trusts the teacher and has a positive rapport with them, well, they'll ask questions and they'll feel brave enough to say, oh, look, I finished early, can I have some more work, you know, that they'll have that connection. So that's really important. And I think often when you visit a school or when you're thinking about schools, we don't spend enough time just watching teaching and learning happening. Mm-hmm. But really that is what's going to make the difference to your child.
Yeah, and you know, how important is it to have your children accompany you on
these trips? Yeah, very, very important. And often I think parents, and understandably, I think they're reluctant to take their child out of their current school or to disrupt their routine. But children notice all sorts of things that as parents we might gloss over. Mm-hmm. And they often also have questions that we might not even think of. And we might think they're silly questions. And it might be about the menu in the cafeteria or how many times they get to go to the library or whether they can play on the beanbags. But for your child, those things are important. And I really encourage parents to ensure their children have sort of ownership over the decision, because at the end of the day, it's them that it's all about. You sit with your child beforehand and say, okay, what would you like to ask the school? What would you like to know? So don't put them on the spot. Most children would freeze in that sort of situation in an unfamiliar environment. But if you can help them prepare a little list, they can keep it in their pocket, and then encourage them at some point on the visit, you know, ask those questions and give them a voice. I think that's really important.
And, you know, from the schools that you have visited, are there options for the children to have like a trial period of some sort?
Yeah, most of the schools, particularly for lower primary and kindergarten age, do have part of their admissions process, which involves an observation. So the children go into the class for a couple of hours or half a day or even a whole day. And that really varies from school to school. And I know parents are sometimes concerned about the admissions testing and that sort of process. And like, what are they looking for? And really what the schools are looking for, they're just checking that the school, it's the right school really, and that they can cater for that child's learning needs and also for the child to get a sense of what being in that school is like.
Yeah, because, you know, they're going to spend a lot of time
there. They're going to spend a lot of time there. So it's really important.
And what you said about the teachers also struck me, because, you know, they're spending a lot of time with them, sometimes more time than with you.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, going to be not responsible, but they could be responsible for moulding kind of what your child ends up doing.
That's exactly right. They're hugely, hugely influential for better or for worse. And that's right. And so we have to do our due diligence as parents and do everything we can to make sure that we're giving our child the best possible teacher. That's right. Actually, the school I was visiting this morning, the head of that school had a really interesting point. And he said, look, most of a school's budget, so something like 70 to 75% of a school's budget consists of teacher salaries. And often that's something parents aren't aware of. So the most expensive schools are expensive because they're paying their teachers the most, because they're hiring incredibly experienced teachers that are incredibly well-trained.
Yeah, well, specialists.
Specialists, right? Often with master's degrees or PhDs, and they cost money to hire. But in the mid-tier in particular, you do get some schools who are saying, okay, what we're going to do, because we can't charge those top fees, but we are going to spend a lot on teacher salaries and we're just going to have simpler facilities. And at first glance, parents might say, oh, but there's no theatre. Oh, but there's no sports field. But I would say, look, but what you're getting in the classroom is probably just as good as a top-tier school. And that matters. Yeah.
So, it's also important to talk to the teachers as well, right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, you're doing this to support parents. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, how are you getting that message out to all these, you know, prospective parents who are looking? And I'm sure they are also kind of struggling, you know, what is the best for my child? So how are you reaching out to them?
Yeah, so at the moment, actually, families are contacting me. So my website is School Select Malaysia, and I have a Facebook page too. And at the moment, really, I'm posting photos and posts about all the schools I've visited. And parents are seeing that and contacting me and just saying, help, like, we're so overwhelmed, we're so stressed. And some of those parents are from Malaysia. Quite a number of them aren't in Malaysia yet, but they want to move. And they're like, how do we even begin this shortlisting process? So I support them one-on-one. I've been supporting a family recently through WhatsApp. She arrived in KL and she's like, can you help me? I don't really know what I'm looking for. I need someone to bounce ideas around. So we've been WhatsApping through Facebook, through Skype, and also in person too. Mm-hmm. I support families. And we've got a new Facebook group as well for international schooling advice. And that's just growing, where we're encouraging parents, look, if you've been on a tour, share what it was like, write about that tour, what you learned, and other parents can ask you questions. I think there has been a sort of lack of good information about schools that's made it quite tricky for parents to learn about the different options. And so really a lot of what I'm doing is just trying to make that information, objective information, so not paid advertisements, you know, just objective, honest feedback more available.
Because as you said, you're a mother, you are a former teacher as well.
That's right.
So, you know, you're just doing this for the good of everyone.
I really am just trying to make it easier for families to make informed decisions. It's not up to me to say, look, this is a better school than this.
Yeah.
Or this is a bad school, this is a good school. I really see my role in saying, look, I've visited them all. Here's what I've learned about them. Here are some core differences between them. You know your child the best. It's up to, you know, now over to you, because I think it's just all about making informed choices, you know, and having all as much possible information to hand, because it's a huge decision, you know, choosing a child for your, school for your child is huge. It's huge financially, it's huge emotionally, and you really don't want to be moving your child if possible. You want them to be there for as long as you're in KL, you know, and so it can be potentially a 5, 6, 7, 10 year decision, and so it's crucial to get right.
Yeah, and you don't want to, like, you know, choose a school, find it's not right, and then move to another one, which is disruptive for your child.
Very unsettling for them. Unsettling. And, it can take off. And when I was working in schools, we'd say, look, it takes a term. It takes a term for a child to settle in. So if you're moving them, you're losing quite a lot of learning time. Of course, some children are more adaptable and they can just, you know, they're fine with it. But most children, it's a huge change. So wherever possible, we don't really want to be moving children. We want to get it right the first time and then commit to that school.
Okay, yeah. So I guess, just to kind of conclude, a good thing would be to have a checklist first of what, you know, what is important to you, what is important to your child, and visit and also bring your children.
Take your children with you. And also, don't be afraid to ask the school to see certain people, because usually school tours are done by someone from the admissions team or marketing team, and they're great. But if you have a child, for example, going into year two, I would be assertive. As a parent, you have a lot of choice. And so don't be afraid to say to the school, look, can I meet with the year two leader as part of my visit? Can I talk to a year two teacher, for example? Or maybe you've got a really talented sportsman, you know, or a talented musician. Ask to see a music teacher. Ask to see the athletics director. Don't be afraid to demand a few things so that you can make the most of that tour, because those admissions and marketing team members aren't the people in the classroom, and they often don't know the ins and outs of the curriculum or the timetable or the programs.
Yeah.
So really do push and ask and then write a list before you go. Go as prepared as you possibly can, and then you can just focus on the teaching and learning that's happening there.
Okay, all right. Thanks so much, Helen. And, you know, I know you've written an article about this on Happy Go KL, so for more information, people can go there for...
That's exactly right. So I've written just a sort of summary of my advice. That's right, on there. It should be online today, I think.
Okay, excellent. And also, I guess I can always get in touch with you through your website.
That's
of
right.
Course.
So I'm always available. At the moment, my advice for families is completely free. So until I've finished all my schooling visits, it's absolutely no charge. So if you've got any questions, please do drop me a line. My Facebook page is School Select Malaysia.
School Select Malaysia. All right. Thank you so much, Helen.
Thank you very much, Juliet.
That was Helen Pryor. She's a contributor with Happy Go KL, and we were discussing how to choose a new school for your kids. And it's the school holidays, of course, and I think a lot of parents are going out of their minds trying to keep their kids occupied. So lots and lots of events for you happening over these next few weeks. Over in Genting, Dora the Explorer Live is happening. That's happening daily until January the 1st. So you just need to check out the Resorts World Genting website for more information. And over at the MPO, there's Tales of Winter. So MPO is welcoming the holiday season with a program that includes gingerbread, sleigh bells, and a love letter from a doting composer to his wife on Christmas. So that's happening on the 14th and 15th of December at 8:30 p.m. And there's another concert, a travel theme concert with KL Pack Symphonic Band. So some light and fun pieces such as Weather Report, Ticket to Ride, make it a suitable musical outing for children and adults alike. That's happening this weekend, the 8th and 9th of December. That's over at Pentas One in KL Pack. If you want to take your kids for a musical, Mud the Musical, The Story of Kuala Lumpur, this award-winning musical returns for the holiday season, performed by a young cast from Infinity Junior. So it's an interactive show. You get to learn lots about culture and history, and it's performed in English, Bahasa, with smatterings of Mandarin and Tamil. So that's happening throughout December over at the platform at Menara Ken in TTDI. And as always, for more information and, you know, for more events, do head to Happy Go KL. You know, there's full listings there and you can get all the information that you need. So that's it for this episode. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Family Time interviews, do search for our podcasts on the BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and Spotify. This has been Family Time on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.